Thank you for downloading this message from our Father's house.
You know, if you want to spiritually grow in God, if you want to really mature in God, you got to have a Paul, you got to have a Barnabas, and you got to have a Timothy. What do you mean by that? You got to have a spiritual father. You got to have a spiritual father who can mentor you. You're going to have a spiritual brother who can hold you accountable along the journey. And you need a spiritual Timothy who you can help grow in the kingdom. If you get to that place in your walk, you'll be more fulfilled than any time in your spiritual walk with God. But if you don't have a Timothy, or you don't have a Paul, or you don't have a Barnabas, you're going to be missing something. Amen. And so we was just talking, holding each other accountable as brothers, which Jason calls me a Paul to him, but I consider them brothers in Christ. And we was just talking and sharing some things. But I feel like preaching this and diving into this word. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. If you've got that, stand this morning in honor, if you're physically able to and willing, at the reading of the word of God. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. It says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eats fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple. And began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple." Sound like Jesus is having a really bad day. "And began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Jesus answered and said unto them, Have faith in God." And that's not a suggestion, that's a command. A command. Not because things are going good, but no matter what you're going through, have faith in God. "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," which was the Mount of Olives, "Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive." Somebody say forgive. "If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence in this room. I thank you for the worship of your people. God, I ask humbly, Lord, that we'll be of one mind and one accord, like-minded with our prayer, our focus, our worship, and our lives centered upon you. Father, I ask that your glory for this room. God, I ask that you be with this message. Let the congregation not look upon me, but let them see a cross. And let me be behind it. That God, you be lifted. And Father, you be praised. For your word says, if I be high and lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. God, be lifted and exalted in this place. Change everyone in this room. Let us not be self-righteous. Let us not be proud. But let us be humble, O God, and take inventory of self that will shake anything off that needs to be shaken. Father, I ask that you be with our pastor as he ministers in Harlan today. Father, I pray that your anointing will be with him. God, I ask that the same spirit that is in this room will be with him right now. As the songs are being sung and the worship is going before your presence, and the message is getting ready to be delivered. Father, I pray your glory will illuminate that place, change every heart, and change every life in that building. God, we expect nothing but good reports from that place. Be with our pastor. Let the greatest evangelistic anointing that has ever been upon him saturate him right now, Father. Lift our pastor up. Lift every load he carries and take him from glory to glory in you, Father. We thank you and we give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' mighty name. And the church says amen. And amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Today I want to talk about this subject of leafy trees and empty branches. Leafy trees and empty branches. Now, if you read in this scripture in Mark chapter 11, you'll find out that a week before the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was on his way to the Mount, to Jerusalem, actually to the Mount of Olives. He was leaving from Bethany and Bethphage, which means the house of figs. And he was leaving from that place and he went and he told his disciples, he said, go into the city and find me a donkey and a colt or a baby horse. Amen. Jessica always says, I sound like I say colt or coat. Amen. I can't really say the word too well, but anyway, baby horse. He said, go send for a donkey and a baby horse, right? Go send for them and bring them to me. Amen. They are tied up. Loose them and bring them to me because I have need of them. And they went and they sit. Now these are animals that's never been rode on. Okay, I can barely get on anything right now. That's even broke as a joke. But you know what? I can't imagine going and trying to ride on something that's never been ridden on before. That's never been broke before. But he sent for them, okay. And he made his triumphal entry into the city on a donkey. And they would fall on their face and they would cry, Hosanna to the King. Which means, oh King, save us now. Save us now. Now you got to understand, they were crying out to God to save them. So what happened next would help us to understand what they were actually praying for. Because three things happen. Let me explain, and I'll dive into this. Don't curse yourself through a hypocritical lifestyle. He would teach them to not hinder someone else's worship. He would teach them finally to use the authority that God had given them to speak and declare in faith his truth. So let's get into this. Because this is an amazing thing. Because the next day he would go back to Bethphage, the house of figs. It's an amazing thing how Jesus could ride on a donkey that was untamed and wild, but he would curse a fig tree. Now here's the thing. He was in a house of figs and he told a fig tree, you will never bear any fruit because from a distance it was full of leaves, but it didn't have any fruit. From a distance you can look holy, but that doesn't mean you're holy. You can have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You can have an appearance that says, hey, I've got it all together. But if you don't bear any fruit, if you're a leafy tree with empty branches, you're cursing yourself through a hypocritical lifestyle. Amen. And this is what the word says. He needed a donkey that you couldn't even control and was tied up, bound on the side. But a tree and a house of figs and a church house full of fig trees. He cursed that thing, but he blessed the other thing that was uncontrollable and that was wild. Because when Christ would sit down on that donkey and on that colt, they would understand who was sitting on them. It's an amazing thing that a drug addict and a drug dealer and a prostitute can recognize when God shows up more than the fig in the house of figs. But it wants to judge and condemn everybody else. But you got all this fig leaves on you. It's time to bear fruit that remains. He said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Aren't you glad you're chosen to bear fruit that remains? Hallelujah. Bear fruit that remains. So he went back to Bethany and he saw this tree from a distance. And you got to understand, Bethany was a very popular place in Christ's ministry. You got to understand that this was the place of Christ's ascension. This was the anointing of Christ in the house of Simon the leper. This was the place where the resurrection of Lazarus would take place. This was where the anointing of Christ by Mary after the resurrection of Lazarus would take place. So here you go. You have the anointing, you have the resurrection, and you have the ascension. All in Bethany. Why? Because you got to die to self to resurrect into a new creation and a new anointing so you can go to new levels in God. But you're not going to do that if you're full of leaves, but you don't bear any fruit. Amen. You've got to say, you know what, God, I can be full of leaves, but I've got to have fruit that remains. I've got to have fruit that remains. We was talking at the shop, and Brother Dwayne made an awesome point. He said, a lot of trees have rotten fruit on it because it's set there for so long. When you're in a house of figs, your fruit is going to rot. But Luke 13, I'm already getting ahead of myself, and I'll get there in just a moment. But Jesus actually lived out the parable that he spoke in Luke 13 when he said that the man who planted the vineyard planted also a fig tree in the vineyard. First of all, what in the world is a fig tree doing in a vineyard full of grapes and olives? Because we're a peculiar people and we're set apart. The only way that your fruit is going to be valuable is if you're positioned in a place where there's lost people. God, take me from this job. I can't handle all these people cussing around me, drinking around me, doing this. Your light is only going to shine when you're around darkness. Light doesn't drown out light. Light drowns out darkness. Amen. God's planting you in a vineyard because he wants you to stand tall. So when everybody sees you, they recognize God planted me here. God positioned. Don't fret because of the season that you're in, because God positions you here so that when he comes to you and when people come to you, they say, there's fruit on this tree. Don't let your fruit rot. Don't let your joy, your love, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, meanness, gentleness, goodness, temperance, faith, those who are lost need to see the joy of Christ, the love of Christ, the peace of Christ inside of you. And the only way that they're going to do that is when you're not in a house of figs in Bethany, but you're planted in a vineyard, when you're surrounded by people who don't know Jesus. So you can shine the light of Christ. Amen. So we need to shine the light of Christ. We don't only need to bear the fruits of the Spirit, but we need to bear the fruits of souls. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins souls is wise. We're to bear the fruit of souls, the fruit of souls, because you are to be a tree of life, not a tree of knowledge of good and evil, but a tree of life. You see, Adam and Eve had a choice in the garden. They had a choice in the garden. And they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because they wanted to be as God rather than just like God. And they ate of that tree to raise themselves up in pride. Ain't it amazing how prideful we are? We want to be better than anybody else. We want to be better than anything else. We want to compare ourselves to other people. If we would lay down our pride, we would be a tree of life. Amen? It's just that simple. Because if Adam and Eve would have ate of the tree of life, they would have had eternal life. But they ate of a tree of knowledge of good and evil because a serpent came in, wiggled his way in there, slithered his way in there, and beguiled them and said, hey, look at this fruit. It looks good. Your eyes will open. You'll be as gods. And when they ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, immediately their eyes were open and they seen the nakedness of their sin. And what did they, the Bible says, they hid themselves from the presence of God and they got fig leaves. And they sewn them together and they covered themselves. What are you saying, Justin? What I'm saying is a lot of times in the church, we're trying to cover up our sin and hide ourselves in the presence of God. Yeah, we want to come in here and look holy with our hands raised and like we got it all together, but we got all and we're wearing these fig leaves around saying, God, don't expose my sin. Don't expose my heart. Don't expose who I really am. And then when it comes in, what happens? It brings a curse on your life. He said, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. You got to confess your faults because that brings healing. That brings restoration. If you are ashamed to confess, God ain't going to forgive us of something that we're not willing to confess and give to him. We got to say, God, I don't want the fig leaves anymore. Because that's what happened. Eve was cursed. Adam was cursed. Life was cursed because of one decision to be prideful rather than be humble. To choose death over life. Amen. You choose death over life when you try to look holy, but you're not being real and genuine with people. Amen. But this is what happened. The word says, after the curse was pronounced, God went and he killed an animal. Do you understand? God killed, for all you animal lovers, God killed the first animal and clothed them with animal skin. Because once it got revealed to God and there was a confession and there was an understanding, he killed an animal. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Amen. In other words, he covered them with animal skin. Why? Because there came a time he produced the first sacrifice. There was already a plan in place that if we chose against God and to reject God, there was already an answer. It was the blood. It was the blood. Amen. I would rather be clothed with the blood of Jesus and it be poured over my life. There's no other sacrifice that needs to be paid than that which is paid at Mount Calvary. For my sin and your sin, the blood of Jesus that was shed can cover, the word cover, atone. That's what the word atonement means. It means to cover. If I want God to cover my sin, I've got to confess it and ask him for forgiveness. I've got to lay the fig leaves down that tries to act like I'm holy when I know there's things in my life I need to give up and move up in God. Amen. I need to lay the fig leaves down and say, God, give me animal skin. God, give me the blood of Jesus. Give me the plan of atonement. Give me the sacrifice. Because he was wounded for my transgression, Pastor Brandon. He was wounded so I could be saved. Those straps he bore was for my healing and my deliverance. You can't fake it till you make it in the kingdom of God. You got to get real with God and say, God, this is what I've done. This is who I am. But this is who I want to be. God, change me. God, change me. Change me. This is what happened. He cursed the tree because it looked like it was full of fruit. Now, you gotta understand, the time of the fig leaves was not yet. It was not time. In other words, it was out of season. If my sources hold correctly, fig trees actually bore fruit three times a year, okay? A tree is not defined by its leaves, but it's defined by its fruit. We knew it was a fig tree because it bore in the three times in 1 year, three different seasons. But there was a time that Jesus came, and it was not in its season. See, a lot of times we allow our seasons to dictate our fruit. We let what we're going through dictate who we really are in God. Someone loses a job, I lose faith. Pain comes in my home, I lose faith. No, it can't be like it. He said, have faith. He said, have faith in God. Luke 6 and 44 says, for every tree is known by its fruit, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor a bramble bush gather they grapes. In other words, many are going to thorn bushes for figs, searching for love and help in the wrong places that will only hurt them. You know a tree by the fruit it bears. You're to be a fig tree, but you're to bear fruit that remains. Don't let your season dictate your faith. And when you're going through stuff, don't go for the wrong sources for answers. Go straight to Jesus. When worry and anxiety and trouble comes in your marriage and home, that's not a time to go to drugs. It's not a time to go to different things. It's definitely not a time to turn to adultery. It's not a time to turn to prostitution. It is a time to turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my life. I give you this situation. God, help me to bear fruit that remains. Put up Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Talk about this story, this parable of Jesus that he lived out. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. I want you to look at it and read it and get it in your spirit. Luke chapter 13, starting at reading at verse 6. This is so awesome. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon, and what did he do? He found none, found nothing. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, okay, the father was talking to the son, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Now, Jesus' ministry lasted how long on earth? 3 years. He entered the priesthood of the ministry at 30 when he was baptized in the Jordan River, okay? And he died at the age of 33. The books of the world cannot contain the miracles that Jesus did, and that's what John wrote in John 21 and 25, but look what he did in 3 years. Cut it down. Why cumbers it the ground? And he answered, saying to him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it, which means to fertilize it. Okay. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, you shall cut it down. Okay. Now watch this. Okay. You've got a fig tree planted in a vineyard. It's out of place. It doesn't belong there. All right. But it's there. 3 years trying to win the Pharisees. 3 years trying to win the Sadducees. 3 years trying to reach people. Nothing's being done. Disciples still missing it. Peter trying to cut someone's head off and cuts his ear off. They're still missing it. Still missing it. But look what the word says. Give it one more year because of the day of Pentecost coming. Give it one more year when the Holy Ghost comes. Give it one more year. Something's going to happen. And this is what he said. The Father said to the dresser, which was Jesus, the intercessor, I'm going to give it one more year. And this is what Jesus said he would do. He said, I'm going to dig up the dirt that the tree is comfortable in. And I'm going to dig it up. And I'm going to put fertilizer. I'm going to put some mess in your life all around you so that you can bear fruit. What are you saying? Sometimes God is going to dig in those areas that you've been comfortable in your life and dig around that you don't want God to touch. But God is saying, if you'll let me dig it up, I won't cut you down, but you will bear fruit. And when people are need answers, instead of you searching for answers, you'll have the answer to give them because you let Jesus dig in those areas. You said, Lord, don't touch that area. Don't touch that area. But if I let him dig, you might have to go through some mess. Jesus may put some mess in your life. But if he has to do it so you can bear fruit, then so be it. Let me be who he's called me to be. Let me stand out because I'm in the vineyard, but I'm not of the vineyard. Let me be the fig tree that just doesn't have leaves, but bear fruit that remains. Now, what's the purpose of a leaf? A leaf's purpose is to trap the sunlight and convert it into energy. Right? That's the purpose of leaves. You come in here, and if you're full of leaves, you're just saying, God, give me the glory. Trap that sun of righteousness. Malachi 4 and 2. Sun of righteousness has risen with healing in his wings. Let me trap that glory. Oh, Lord, let Pastor Odie give me a fresh revelation. Fresh revelation of your word. Let that song just bless me. Let him sing my song, Lord. Bless me. And you trap all that glory and you go out here and you have no fruit and you're just full of leaves. Christ is hungry not for your leaf. He's hungry for your fruit. It's time we feed God. We ask God to feed us. It's time we feed God. He feeds us the rain. Hallelujah. He shines upon us. Let's feed God because he's doing that so we can bear fruit that will change people's lives. Amen. Let's get here. Jesus curse the fig tree. It wasn't like Jesus was so beyond furious that he was out of his own control because he was illustrating this message, this parable, and illustrating it to a perfect point because it was out of its season. The season hadn't come. Revelation chapter 6, verse 13. Ain't it amazing that Genesis and Revelation both talk about a fig tree? It's amazing. Me and Brandon was talking about this the other day. It makes you wonder if the fig tree was actually what they ate in the garden. It almost makes you wonder. Because from Genesis to Revelation, you have this fig tree mentioned all through Scripture. Revelation 6:13 says, and the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Untimely, you know what that word untimely means? It means aborted. Aborted. What's that mean? God will shake you to see what you're made of. He'll send the wind to shake what you're made of. And what's going to fall off? The untimely figs. Because it's not, because you want everything to be in your season. You got to move when God says move. You got to go when God says go. You got to go in alignment of the word. Amen. The problem is, Jesus said this, I'm the vine, you're the branches. In other words, we got to be one with God if we want to bear fruit that remains. You can't do it in your own religious self. You got to do it in Jesus. You got to do it in God, right? But here's the thing. The vine is with the branches, but people are moving out of God's timing and purpose. And when the strong winds blow, they abort their destiny in God. You understand, and I've said this before, if a mother looks at an ultrasound and is debating an abortion, having an abortion, if they see an ultrasound, 90% of the time they will keep their child. That number's wild. 90% of the time. Why? Because when they see what is really inside of them, they know it's not just a blob of tissue. There's life in them. What are you importing? What kind of untimely figs are you shedding? When God is shaking, what kind of purposes are you aborting? Because you're not moving in the season that God's called you to move in. Hey, church services we had 20, 30 years are good, but behold, God wants to do a new thing. God wants to do a new thing. Amen. He wants to pour out a new measure of his anointing and his glory. But we got to get in his season and listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. Book of Nahum, chapter 3, verse 12, said, all your strongholds shall be like fig trees with the first ripe figs. If they be shaken, they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. God has taken inventory of your tree through a mighty shaking. Don't be disgusted. Don't be discouraged when you're going through stuff. God is just taking inventory to see what you really have and to see what you're really made of. Amen. Don't be hypocritical. Don't be hypocritical. Be who God's called you to be. Now he cursed the fig tree. He goes into the temple. And now Jesus starts overthrowing tables and chairs. He's crying, oh God, save us. Now he's over here having a throwdown in the temple. Okay. People say, man, he just don't like people selling stuff in church. Okay, let me just bring you to this measure of the story. Okay, now listen, if people are selling CDs and DVDs and shirts and ministry, more power to them. We do it. It goes to missionary work. It's one way we put towards missionary work. All right, I don't condemn anybody for selling books and different things, especially if they're full-time ministry. But here's the thing. Where they were set up was what made Christ really mad. They were set up in the Gentile court. So what does that mean, Justin? That means these Jewish people who was trying to make a profit off of other people's sacrifices was in a Gentile court, and the Gentile people couldn't worship Jesus, couldn't worship God. So what did Jesus do? He overthrew their tables. He released their animals. Why do you make my house a den of thieves when it should be a house of prayer? Right? Because you're robbing God of his glory by hindering the way someone else worships. Okay, because I'm so glad that the color line and the racial line was washed in the blood of Jesus. That it doesn't have to be just a Jew in nature, but a Jew at heart. Someone who's chosen at heart. Someone who is willing to live for God. No matter what your background is, no matter what you came from, God can still use you as a tool and an instrument in his hand to make a difference in the lives of others. You can still come in his place and worship God and his glory. Come and wreck and change your life because he died and resurrected. When you say, God, save me, he said, okay, I'm going to cleanse the temple. I want to show you what a hypocritical lifestyle will do for your life so you can be more like me. God doesn't want you cursed. He wants you blessed. And the only way you'll be blessed is when you get back to the heart of worship. Don't look around. Don't compare yourself with other people. Don't hinder the way someone else worships. Worship God for yourself. Amen. So that's why Jesus had a throwdown in the temple. Right? Okay. So you go on and they get out of the temple. Next day they go by the fig tree. And the disciples heard him curse the fig tree. And so they go and like, okay, Peter, of course, Peter's always the one with the questions. Peter begins to ask, okay, why is the fig tree, it's dead. It's withered all the way from its roots. It didn't wither from its leaves. It withered from its roots. Because you got to know where you're rooted in. You got to know what you're planted in. You got to know what you're rooted in. Because that's what was withered. A few years ago, back in Yosemite National Park, one of its tallest, biggest strongest, oldest sequoias fell to the ground. And they had no idea why. It's went through windstorms, every kind of storm, every kind of natural disaster you can think of. And this big, tall sequoia tree is still strong. But then one day it just randomly just falls to the ground. So they're like, okay, what's going on? So they studied the tree and they found out that because people were walking and trampling on its roots got weakened to the point that it fell to the ground. So what are you saying? You need to secure your roots. What they did was, from the next biggest, oldest, tallest trees in the park, they would build walls and perimeters and surround the roots of those trees so that people couldn't walk on its roots. Don't let people walk over your roots. Jesus, be rooted and be grounded in the Word of God. Be rooted in Him. You don't need to be withered from the roots up. Be rooted in Christ. Be rooted in the Word. Be the seed sown in good ground that you may bear fruit that remains. So I'm saying all this to say this. God wants to use you mightily and abundantly. Okay? God wants you to be a tree of life, not a tree of knowledge of good and evil. God wants you to bear fruit, not just fig leaves. Be the example and be the vessel who God's called you to be. I want the praise team to come. We'll get a song ready, give you a chance to pray. Withered from its roots, withered from its foundation, withered from the roots. And they said, and they began to ask, why did he curse the fig tree? Because when Jesus was hungry and he came to take inventory of that tree, it didn't bear any fruit. Something else that is so amazing about a tree. Have you ever been to like a pine tree or something and it have sap all over the sides of it? Do you understand sap is to carry all those nutrients from the roots all the way to the leaves? And if it doesn't get from the roots all the way to the leaves and the branches, and it's oozing out of the sides, it means that tree has a disease, an infection, or a wound somewhere that's leaking out that sap. In other words, if you want to bear fruit that remains, if you want to be who God's called you to be, that anointing that is in your roots has got to get up and get to where it becomes a part of you. Deep down inside of you is purpose. Deep down inside of you is a desire to worship. Every human being's got a heart to worship. Everybody. Your worship may be God. Your worship may be your job. Your worship may be addiction. Whatever it is. But you got to get back to the heart of worship and say, God, let this anointing that's in my roots become a part of me. Don't let it leak out. You got these wounds and these areas of your life that's not healed and covered. And you don't let God heal you and mend you. If you was molested as a child, but you don't let God heal those wounds, and you don't forgive, and you don't move, and you don't let God heal those things, they'll scar you for the rest of your life. You will only leak that tree sap on both sides. You'll be like that sequoia that fell down because you let someone else dictate your whole purpose and future. Listen, we need to cover each other in prayer. We need to cover each other. But if you're covering yourself and trying to hide your sins and your addictions and your bondage and those struggles within, God will never heal, deliver, and free you. He'll never do it. Not because he can't. He won't. Because that's how this story closed. He cursed the fig tree, and then he goes on to say, forgive others as I've forgiven you of your trespasses. Forgive others. Forgive. If you've got an ought against a brother, at an ought, lay that gift in an altar and move. Move on. Because you need to forgive others if you want God to forgive you. Those hidden, he begins to deal with those hidden areas. Peter said, Lord, should I forgive my brother 7 times? He's done so many stupid stuff against me. Do I have to forgive him? He said, yeah. Not just 7 times, but 70 times 7. Right? Peter was an uneducated man. He might not have been able to count that high. But what was he saying? Forgive him as many times as you got to forgive him. Forgive. Forgive. Forgive brings healing. Forgiveness brings restoration. I'm talking about this morning because this can be this message, if you let it get in your spirit, not just in your head, not just because it's coming from me, but because if you can let it become a part of your life, it will change you forever. Because Everybody's got a story in this room. Everybody's had bad things happen. You're going to have 99 good things happen, but you let that one bad thing scar you forever. It leaks out the sap. It leaks out the anointing and purpose. You sit around and you come in here and worship, and you never go to that next level in God because you're still home back as a fig tree that just has leaves but doesn't have any fruit. And when God is calling you higher, when you should be pastoring, mentoring, counseling, teaching, praying, interceding, helping, you're still stuck in the back of your mind of what so-and-so said about you and what so-and-so did to you. And you hold those grudges and that bitterness deep inside of your heart. And you have this form of godliness that says, I do go to church on Sunday. I do hear the preacher preach. I do hear the worship team. I go to church. I do good. I try to do good to everybody. But inside, you're wearing your pillow every night. You're tormented in your mind. You're having nightmares about your experiences. And you don't let God deal with it. Let God deal with it. Let God dig the dirt around you. Get that dirt you're comfortable in removed. And say, let me change you. It might be messy. It might be something you don't like. And it might be something you're not interested in. But if you'll confess it, and if you'll give it to me, I will change you forever. Paul had a change. He went from murdering Christians to preaching the gospel he once persecuted. What did it take? A moment. One moment with the dresser of the vineyard. One moment with the intercessor. One moment with the man that hung on a tree. It started on a tree. It finished on a tree. The first tree brought a curse, but the second tree brought healing. The first tree was proud. The second tree was humble. The first tree was something God planted. The second tree was something he carried. He carried to the top of that hill. Not for you to carry your burdens on your own for the rest of your life. That hurt, that rejection, that bondage. He carried it to be hung on it, to die and to bow his head so you could be saved, so you could be restored. Not so you can play with God. You can play music, but you got a pornography addiction. You sing, but you got a lust problem. You preach, but you still hold grudges. You're full of leaves, and you're cursed, and you're spreading the curse, and you're like poison ivy. You're just getting everybody irritated. It's just going on. No blessing, just curse, pain, no breakthrough. It's time to confess it and say, God, this is where I've been. This is what I've done. This is who I am. This is where I messed up. I am not perfect. I have fallen short. I fell short in my marriage. I fell short in my children. I fell short to my parents. I fell short to everybody. Father, I feel like I fell short to you. I feel like I've just messed things up. Give it to God and let God show you the greatness of his love. Because what God's going to say to you, it says, well, I accept you and I love you and I forgive you. I'll deliver you and I'm going to change you. When you confess your heart and your thoughts and give it all to God, that's a holy moment where God can deliver you and set you free. But if you keep it covered, brother and sister, man and woman, boy or girl, if you keep it covered, God can never deal with it. Because it's that one thing that's hurting your marriage. It's that one thing that's hurting your children. It's that one thing. If you don't think being molested, being bitter, being abused doesn't carry over to a marriage or to your children, if you don't deal with it, I assure you it will. Let God heal you. Let Him heal you. Let Him deliver you. Let Him change you. Let's stand on the cross this building. No more fig leaves. No more form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. No more coming in here and like we got it all together and we're perfect. I believe God's dealing with your heart. I want everyone to bow their heads and their eyes to close. I want to give you a chance to pray this morning. God is dealing with you. You know He's talking to you. You say, well, I'm a preacher's wife. I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm a preacher's kid. I've been to church for 20 years. Done this, done that. But what have you done for God? Because just like I said at the very beginning, Jesus used a donkey but cursed a fig tree. Amazing how someone who is radical in sin gets saved, they become so radical for Jesus. But in this atmosphere, some of you may be bitter with God because you lost a parent or a grandparent at such a young age. I'm talking about issues that people don't like to talk about. Sow your seed, pay your offering, you'll get your breakthrough and all this stuff. If you don't confess stuff to God, you don't give it to God and let God change you and heal you, He'll never do it. But every head bowed, every eye closed. Who in this room, saved, not saved, churchgoer, non-churchgoer, there's something in your life, maybe even on the platform, maybe in the sound booth, whoever you are, you feel like you're full of fig leaves. You feel like you've got a curse on your life. You feel like that you need a breakthrough. You've been holding for so long, grudges, bitterness, hurt. And you've got all these fig leaves. And you need God to heal you and cover you with the blood of Jesus. You need to confess it, give it to God, turn it over to God, and let Him change your life. If you've got any area of your life that you need to confess and give to God, and you need God to heal you and deliver you this morning, and you're willing to give it all to Him, you got to give it all. You got to surrender it all to God. If you will give it all to Him and say, God, heal me, deliver me, change me, set me free. I'm ready to go to a new level in you. I'm ready to not just be full of leaves. I'm ready to be fruitful. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand to heaven right now and say, Justin, that is me. That is me. That is me. Lord, I've got something. I've got something. I've got something. I've got something. Several hands all over this building. Actually, more's raising their hands. It's not raising their hands. If that's you, whatever it is, I urge you and I encourage you to make your way to this altar. Talk it with Jesus. Confess it to God and let God heal you. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Oh, Jesus, we bless you.
more information about Our Father's House or upcoming events, please log on to www.ourfathershouseky.org.